Hi, this is Candace Cordiello for IDEA Money Watch, a project of the Advocacy Institute. It is April 26, 2012. We're speaking today with Lindsay Jones, Senior Director of Policy and Advocacy Services at the Council for Exceptional Children, and Joel Packer, Executive Director of the Committee for Education Funding. Our discussion will focus on the impact of sequestration on federal funding for education, and specifically on federal funding for the Individuals with Disabilities Education Act, or IDEA, the nation's special education law. Lindsay and Joel, thank you for joining us today.
Thanks so much for having us.
Yeah.
So let's begin. Sequestration is a very strange word to most of us, but it has suddenly become important to those of us who advocate for federal funding to help local school districts provide special education services to students with disabilities. So let's begin our discussion with a brief overview of sequestration, what it is, and how it might impact federal funding. Joel, can you begin?
Sure. So there's bipartisan agreement in Congress and in Washington that something needs to be done to reduce the very large federal budget deficit. But unfortunately, Congress so far has not been able to really agree on what that should be. So last year, the Congress created something called the Super Committee to come up with $1.2 trillion in deficit reduction. Unfortunately, the Super Committee didn't do anything, so it was really not very super, and their failure to come up with a plan is triggering the so-called sequestration cuts. So what that's going to mean is, unless Congress does something to change them on January 2nd, 2013, almost every so-called discretionary program, we can explain that more, is going to be subject to an across-the-board cut of as much as 9%. And there's no revenues in this. It's just spending cuts. Half comes out of defense. Half comes out of most domestic programs.
So how will sequestration impact federal funding for the IDEA? Lindsay?
Well, we're extremely concerned about how this across-the-board cut will impact all IDEA programs. So it's important to understand, as Joel has just described, that the entire budget of the Department of Education will experience this 9% cut, and that's going to include all IDEA programs. By that I mean infants and toddlers, which is our Part C program, all of our national support programs, which are programs that train teachers with students with disabilities, which are Part D programs, and our largest program, which most parents are probably familiar with, which impacts them in their nation's schools, Part B, which helps our children ages 3 through 21. The impact is going to be quite extreme, and I think it's shown it's really demonstrated in your chart, which is in your FAQ, which I think people can get to on this page. And the first chart in that really demonstrates how the Department of Education's budget will be cut and shows in the pie graph that special ed programs, and really that's referring to B, C, and D. We also have Section 619, which are ages 3 to 5. That will also be cut. But that total will be cut by about $1 billion, more than $1 billion. In this time where states have been cut to the bone already, having this extra cut to federal funding will really impact their ability to provide appropriate services to students with disabilities. The next and final thing I'll say with this is to understand how it's going to impact your state, you need to look at the map that you've put together, which is also, I think, on this page or maybe on a different page, but you can click on your state and see how much money your state will lose for its Part B, the largest program, ages 3 through 21. So we're very concerned about what this is going to mean for state budgets that are already quite stressed.
And I think we probably should point out that the amount of reduction that we're talking about today is only for the first year of sequestration, the 2013, and that there are 9 more consecutive years that go out from that, and each additional year will experience another cut to IDEA.
That's right. That's a great point.
Yeah. So these cuts to IDEA federal funds actually will come on top of funding that isn't anywhere close to the amount authorized in the IDEA law itself. Can you explain the lack of federal funding in support of IDEA and why that has never been reached? Joel, can you help us understand that?
Sure. So back in the mid-70s, when Congress passed the original version of this law, which was originally called the Education for All Handicapped Children Act. The Congress essentially promised or committed that the federal government would provide 40% of the so-called excess or extra cost of educating children with disabilities, recognizing those children need extra services and those things cost money. Unfortunately, the actual federal funding has never come close to that 40% promised level. It got close to almost 20% at one point, but it's actually been declining the last several years. So even under the budget that President Obama proposed for fiscal year 2013, because the president proposed no increase in IDEA funding, but because then costs are going up and it's often more children eligible for services, the actual federal share, even under the president's budget, would go down to about 15.8%. So, again, there's a chart on your site that shows the actual dollar shortfalls. So even before we possibly have cuts from sequestration or under the budget that passed the House of Representatives, we're already looking for fiscal 13, of a gap between the so-called full funding amount and the president's budget of about almost $18 billion. So what that means is it just shifts those costs to the school district level because school districts have to provide these services. And as the federal share keeps falling sort of further behind, it just impacts everybody. So it could result in perhaps not as high quality of services to children with disabilities, but it also means school districts are shifting money from sort of services for the rest of the student population to provide these services to the IDEA population. And this is also in a context, because obviously IDEA is not the only federal education program. So other programs have also been cut in the last few years. So in the last year and a half, the last two federal fiscal years, there's been about 50 federal education programs that have been completely eliminated, others that have been cut. So in the last two budget cycles, leaving Pell Grants for college students out of the picture for a second, we've lost about $1.2 billion by cuts to a whole variety of other programs. So school districts are just experiencing, as Lindsay said, state and local budget cuts, already now some federal budget cuts, and then potentially even deeper federal budget cuts.
Yes, and that is a good point to make, that that these cuts are across the board for all education programs except for the federal Pell Grants. That's the only program that's exempt in the education
right.
budget.
Yeah, and if I could just add one more thing. The other part that makes this all very frustrating is in terms of the overall federal budget, since some people may not understand this, most of the federal budget is what's called mandatory spending, which means when Congress passes a law and sets the eligibility, the money automatically just keeps flowing. So big programs like Social Security, Medicare, veterans benefits, things like that are mandatory. Only about a third of the whole federal budget is so-called discretionary funded programs, and that's the pretty much the only part of the budget subject to sequestration. So not that we want to cut Social Security or Medicare, but revenues are not part of the picture. Most mandatory programs are not part of the picture. So it's been this part of the budget where most education programs are that's been the one area that's been subject to cut after cut after cut.
Right. And thank you for making that distinction. And it is an important one to understand the difference between mandatory and discretionary appropriations. The other big program in the Department of Education is, of course, the Title I grant program, which supports additional services for low-income children. And I think we know that about 2.5 million of kids who are IDEA eligible also receive services under Title I. So for a number of our children, that these cuts could be a double whammy, so to speak. Lindsay, can you tell us a little bit more about where your organization is in helping to people to understand what the impact of sequestration might look like at the school level for kids with disabilities?
Yeah, absolutely. I think a point that both of you just made that we need to underscore is that our kids with disabilities are general education students first. They are in the general education classroom and programs. At least 60% of our kids are in there for 80% of their day. This is a number we have seen rise every year for the last 10 years, and it will continue to rise as we see schools better understanding how to include students in general education curriculum. So as a result, those cuts that both of you are talking about really are impacting all of the students with disabilities equally to other students. What I think is the reality is that there is, you know, as Joel said earlier, these services that we provide to students with disabilities cost money. And I think for a long time, parents of students with disabilities are, you know, they certainly are concerned with what the services are and how appropriate they are and how substantive they are. Those are totally legitimate concerns that continue. But the reality is, if the money isn't there to fund the services, it becomes harder and harder to ensure that teachers are prepared, that they have time to collaborate, that they have time to think about it, that they have training to use assistive technology, that they have the tools they need to provide the appropriate services that students with disabilities are entitled to. So I think in terms of how will this impact students, we, from the Council for Exceptional Children, from our perspective, we want to empower teachers to teach, to get the best services to students that they can receive, that they're entitled to. If these cuts go into place, we are going to see possibly up to 15,000 teachers, maybe more, lose their jobs, because we know IDEA money, at the federal money for IDEA at the state and local level, more often than not pays for jobs. It is job related. And the reality, I'm sure many parents around the nation have seen schools in their district close, have seen teachers and be laid off and class sizes increase. That is an incredible strain on the system. We did a survey 2 years ago at the middle of this, that tried to get at the myth that, you know, as Joel referred to earlier, IDEA services must be provided by the schools because they're required by law. As a result, state and local monies must make up the shortfall when the federal government fails to pay its full share. Even though that's the case, when you diminish all of the amounts of money that go to supporting these services, the services themselves suffer. Class sizes increase. Caseloads increase. And so what we're really concerned about here is we've had years of budget cuts, and Joel's just gone in to describe them. It's not just special ed services. It's the entire system. That strain really inevitably results in a real diminished ability of school districts to provide the appropriate services they can. So we're focused on eliminating the need for sequestration and hoping that Congress will, and urging Congress to pass a balanced plan that does that, that eliminates the need and that respects the fact that our children are a worthy investment and we can't serve them on a shoestring.
Right, and I guess we should also point out that the $11.3 billion that was provided for IDEA funding to local districts through the Recovery Act, which was quite honestly the reason why we started IDEA Money Watch, it has now been spent out, and so that money is not around any longer to help shore up some of these cuts that we might see under sequestration. So in conclusion, first of all, Joel, explain to us what actually would need to happen in order to avoid sequestration, and then Lindsay, tell us what the role of groups like CEC can play in those efforts.
Sure. So first, just before I do that, one thing I just want to add to what Lindsay said is that these cuts are scheduled to start on January 2nd, 2013, which is obviously the middle of the next school year, and while there's some questions of exactly when the actual dollars would be cut by the federal government, we believe that for IDEA, the cut would likely occur like right then and there on starting January 2nd, which would make it even more disruptive because it's very difficult in the middle of the school year to start laying off teachers or aides or other staff. So it's not only the dollar cut, but it's the timing that makes it even more harmful. So in terms of what has to happen, a little bit complicated. So, again, this is all part of just the bigger budget debate in Congress and the basic issue of how do we reduce the deficit. It's kind of like the old beer commercial, tastes great, less filling. Generally, the position of the Republicans is we should reduce the deficit solely through cutting spending. Should be no revenues as part of the picture. The position of the Obama administration and Democrats generally is we need, as Lindsay just said, a balanced approach that has some revenues from whether it's upper income people or closing tax loopholes or corporations, along with some spending reductions, including some out of defense, and at the same time investing in things like education. So under the plan the president has put forth, education, actually IDEA itself would unfortunately be frozen, but other education programs would have some increases. So Congress has to agree on some plan that has bipartisan support that the president's going to sign that will replace these cuts, because there is agreement that they're just not going to repeal them, because repealing them at this point will actually increase the federal deficit by $1.2 trillion. So what's likely to happen is after the election in what's called the lame duck session of Congress, there's a, it's kind of a perfect fiscal storm, because not only will Congress have to deal with at that point the very looming sequestration cuts, but all of the so-called Bush tax cuts are set to expire at the end of this year, December 31st. The ceiling on the federal debt has to be increased again. So all of these will become intertwined. A lot of it's going to depend on the outcome of the election, but it's going to be part of some, if it is solved, and it may not be, some bigger package that deals with taxes and revenues and defense and mandatory programs and all these things in one giant package.
So, Lindsay, what do you think groups like the Council for Exceptional Children and all of the organizations that are, you know, disability-specific organizations, what can these organizations do to keep this from happening?
I think there's two things that these organizations can do and that every person can do in our nation. I think the first is we need to work together and spread a consistent message. And that message is, exactly as Joel just said it, eliminate the need for sequestration and pass a balanced budget plan. Unfortunately, as Joel described, I think that, you know, that decision is unlikely to be made until after the election, but it doesn't mean that advocacy now is not important. We need to set the table for what's going to happen and make sure that people know that this will impact them. The second thing I think groups can do and parents and individuals can do is tell their stories. Take a minute, you know, this year, and I'd encourage people if they want to use CEC's Legislative Action Center. You can find it on our website. Anyone can use it. You don't need to be a member of CEC, and you don't have to use one of our letters. We have some pre-written materials on there that people can send to their members of Congress, but you can write anything off of that. And I think the important thing there is share your story. Tell about cuts in your district. Tell how it's going to impact your area and what that's going to do to your vote. And I think those are the two things to do. Share the message that Congress needs to make the right decision and let them know how it will personally impact you. And that's for something that all the groups that represent people with disabilities need to do, as well as all the education groups. But it's also something every individual who cares about this issue can do themselves to make a difference.
And in fact, I mean, if I could just add, the cuts could be even worse than we just talked about, because the budget that the House of Representatives passed a couple of weeks ago would sort of replace sequestration, but it would do so in a way that actually increases defense spending and actually further cuts domestic spending. So under the budget that the House passed in the second year, fiscal year 2014, the cut to domestic programs, including IDEA and other education programs, would actually be 19%, more than double what would occur under sequestration. So it's really important that, as Lindsay said, everyone make the case, because IDEA itself, fate is part of this bigger package. So unless we speak up and say, essentially, no more cuts to education, no more cuts to special education, here's why these programs are important, Congress come up with some plan that protects these investments, we're going to lose. So we just need to be as loud and vocal and factual and demonstrate the importance of these programs to every member of Congress.
So, Joel and Lindsay, how do people get to the resources that your groups have provided with regard to sequestration? Joel?
Yeah, so one of the things we've done at the Committee for Education Funding is started an online petition to get people to sign our petition, and then when we get enough signatures, we'll send it to Congress. So if people just go to www.cef.org/action, it will take you right to our very simple petition, which urges Congress to essentially stop these cuts. And there's some other fact sheets we've put up on our webpage about stop the cuts, including our very detailed budget response, which Lindsay was actually one of the editors of, that provides program-by-program information on virtually every federal education program, including what the impact of sequestration would be.
Great.
And Lindsay?
Yeah, I would just, you know, I discussed our CEC Legislative Action Center earlier. That's also www.cec.SPED.org. And you go to Policy and Advocacy, and you'll see, which is a tab you can select, and you'll see our Legislative Action Center once you've hit that. That's where you can reach out to your members of Congress individually. I'd also really encourage you to sign the CEF petition, because that's something that, again, is easy to do but will be really meaningful. And then finally, I would just say CEC as an organization is working with our members. We're providing a series of webinars and trying to give them many opportunities to reach out. And so those resources will be available in the coming months on our website. You can always check that if you have a few moments.
Well, thanks to both of you for joining us today and helping us understand this important but very complicated issue. We would also remind our listeners that you can find more information on sequestration at our website at www.ideamoneywatch.com. Thanks to both of you.
Great. Thank you.